Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And Liguori is talking golf on Sunday morning with you, right here on The Fan.
Well, good morning, and welcome to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, May 24th. Talking Golf is brought to you by Travelers Insurance. For auto, home, and business, Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. Well, happy Memorial Day weekend. How we doing? This weekend, we honor our military veterans who deserve our very best. And we need to remember that each and every day. And, you know, when I think of two of the most legendary veterans of war in our sports world, two iconic baseball players actually come to mind, the great Yogi Berra and the great Ted Williams. And I had the opportunity to interview both of these legends for my Sports Interview cable series years ago. And you all know what incredible sports careers they each had. What they rarely talked about, though, were their decorated military careers. And Yogi served in World War II. He was actually on a 36-foot rocket boat that stormed the shores of Normandy on D-Day. And he was only 19 years old at the time. But a few months later, he was bloodied by a bullet in Operation Dragoon, an Allied assault on Marseille. In France, he earned a Purple Heart and actually had the opportunity to visit Normandy a couple years ago. We toured the American cemetery there. And if you ever have an opportunity to do that, I highly recommend it. It is such a moving experience and it really makes you appreciate our veterans even more. Well, I had the pleasure of knowing Yogi and Carmen and their family and interviewing Yogi several times, playing in his annual celebrity golf tournament, which benefits the Yogi Berra Museum and the Learning Center in Montclair, New Jersey. And you know, some of my fondest memories of Yogi Berra were on the golf course. I saw him hit a hole-in-one on one of the par threes at Montclair Country Club during his tournament. He was actually hitting tee shots on that par three for every foursome that came through. And, you know, he played golf righty and he putt lefty. And I was following him around one day on the course with the TV cameras. And I said, Yogi, I didn't know you were ambidextrous on the golf course. And he said, I'm not, Ann. I'm amphibious. True story. Oh, I loved Yogi Berra. He was the ambassador at the Bob Hope Classic, a PGA Tour event in La Quinta in the desert in California for many, many years. And in 2011, I was so honored to be a celebrity player in that PGA Tour event. And it was just so much fun watching Yogi do his thing, shaking hands with people, riding around in the golf cart, saying hello to everyone. And the first day of that tournament week, Yogi and I were given the job of handing out checks to charity. What a great job, right? He was just a national treasure and always will be. And then Ted Williams, he left the Red Sox from 1942 to 46, and then again from 52 to 53 to serve in the U.S. Navy and then the Marine Corps. He was a naval aviator during World War II and the Korean War. He actually flew as a wingman for the great John Glenn. I remember talking to him about that when I had the opportunity to sit down with him in my sports interview taping. And, you know, he was part of a 35-plane raid against a tank and infantry training school in North Korea. And during the mission, apparently the hydraulics and the electrical systems in his plane were damaged. And he managed to get the plane back to the base, but the plane burst into flames soon after he landed. Just incredible stories. He flew 39 combat missions in Korea, and he earned Air Medal Awards and 2 Gold Stars. And I mean, can you imagine experiencing that and then coming back to play pro baseball? He never skipped a beat. In 1946, when he returned from the first time he served, he won his first American League MVP award, and he played in the World Series. And then in 1947, he won his second Triple Crown. Just incredible history. And Ted Williams, he played some golf. In fact, I connected with him from my sports interview cable show by meeting his son, John Henry, while I was playing golf in Central Florida at a golf course called Black Diamond. John Henry lived in that area for a while. So golf connects so many people together. It's just unbelievable. So just a bit of a tribute this Memorial Day weekend to 2 baseball legends who were heroic in battle serving our country, and 2 guys who really were passionate about golf. All right, well, this morning we will preview the really big charity match that's going to take place this afternoon, 3 to 6 on TBS, TNT, True TV, and HLN. They're calling it The Match, Champions for Charity. Tiger Woods and Peyton Manning are going to take on Phil Mickelson and Tom Brady. And I'm going to talk with Maggie Wills in a few minutes, a 3-time LPGA Tour winner, former college golf coach, and now founder of Will2Golf. It's the world's largest searchable database of golf tournaments. So she has played Medalist, where they're playing the match this afternoon, and she played Seminole a lot, where they played that skins game last week. So we'll get her insight on the match coming up and last week's skins match. And then how do these tour players get and stay into such great shape? Well, Joey D trains Dustin Johnson. He trained Brooks Koepka. He works with Justin Thomas, Lexi Thompson, Jessica Korda, just to name a few. We're going to pick his brain and see if we can get in the best shape for golf. So we'll check in with training guru Joey D at about 7:40. All right, back to the match. The match format for this afternoon with Tiger, Phil, and the legendary quarterbacks. The first 9 holes will be a best ball format. Each player hits their own ball, and then the lowest score among the 2 guys on each team counts as the best score. I love that format. Then on the back 9, they'll play modified alternate shot. Now, this gets tricky. Each player will hit their own tee shot. They take the best drive or whichever drive from a strategic standpoint they want to take based on who's going to hit the second shot, because they play one ball from there, alternating who hits. And, you know, this is a very interesting format for strategy, for teamwork. We'll see just how good Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are under pressure. Alternate shot, it's tricky. And Americans, as a rule, we don't play alternate shot too much. They play it a lot more in Europe. But this match is going to be fun. It's going to feature various challenges, like on the par 4 fifth hole. Each golfer, they're going to have to choose one club to play the entire hole, including putting. So it will be interesting to see which club they actually pick. Are they going to use a 4-iron? Would they use a hybrid? What do you think? If you had to use one club for an entire hole, which one would you use? All right, this match, let's see, Warner Media owns TBS and TNT, and it's really all about charity. the golfers will collectively make a $10 million charitable donation to benefit COVID-19 relief. So that's cool. I mean, last week's match was all about charity, so it's today's match. And it will be interesting to see Tiger's form. I mean, the last tournament he played in was his own, the Genesis Invitational at Riviera. This was in February, and he shot a 77 to finish last among the players. And before that, he tied for ninth at the Farmers Insurance Tournament at Torrey Pines. And those are really the only two tournaments he's played in this year. He skipped all the tournaments in the Florida swing because of back stiffness. The medalist is one of Tiger's home clubs, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka, Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas. They're all members there. And Justin Thomas, actually, will be an on-course reporter this afternoon. That should be fun. He knows the guys and he knows the course. And the medalist was originally designed by Greg Norman, but he had a falling out with the ownership when they hired Bobby Weed to redesign the course and not him. The course has five tees named after Tiger. Bobby Weed redesigned the course 5 years ago. I love that name. Great name for a golf course architect, Bobby Weed. He is a protege of the great Pete Dye, and he actually put the Tiger tees in place on holes 1, 2, 9, 15, and 18. It's a par 72, and the course stretches 7,515 yards from the tips. That's long. So it'll be interesting to see these guys and their tee shots and how far the quarterbacks can hit the ball off the tee. It's just the second time golf will be telecast from the medalist. Nick Price beat Greg Norman in a Shell's Wonderful World of Golf show that they filmed there back in 95. So I love seeing celebrities play golf if they're, you know, good golfers. So and I did a show on the Golf Channel for many years where I interviewed celebrity golfers, and Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are supposedly very good golfers. Brady has an 8.1 index, Manning a 6.4 index. But, you know, to be fair, Manning may have more time to play golf since Brady's still going strong on the football field. Peyton is a member of Augusta National, Cherry Hills, Castle Pines, the Honors Club in Tennessee, and he has an ownership stake in Sweetens Cove in Tennessee. And Tom Brady recently joined Seminole, and he's a member of the Country Club of Brookline. In football, Brady has the bragging rights with more Super Bowl rings. And who knows? Tom Brady could get even another one leading Tampa Bay. Wouldn't that be fun? All right, Charles Barkley, he's going to be one of the commentators. He's hilarious. But his golf swing leaves a lot to be desired. But he should be a lot of fun to listen to if he doesn't hold back. And as I mentioned, Justin Thomas will join him on the course. Justin plays with Tiger a lot at Medalist. Now, we want these guys to bust chops. We want to hear a lot of ribbing. You know, we want to hear them having a lot of fun. But I have to say, that's very difficult to do, you know, to trash talk and to joke around when you're concentrating on your golf game, especially in front of a global audience, right? All right, Mickelson beat Tiger in the first match that they played, which was also for charity. That happened in 2018, in the fall of 2018. But it wasn't that interesting because the two really didn't talk much, and their golf wasn't up to their standards. In fact, Mickelson even admitted that he and Tiger clamped up the first time they played. And Phil said that will not happen again. He said that having Peyton there will be a big part of it because he gives Phil and Tom somebody to rough up. So hopefully, you know, they'll have some fun and they'll all be mic'd up. And but again, you know, you got to focus on your game, and it'll be interesting to see how much talking and joking around they'll actually do. Last Sunday, we saw the first live televised golf event in months, the TaylorMade Driving Relief Skins match at Seminole Golf Club. And that match raised over $5.5 million for COVID-19 relief. And it was very cool to see Seminole Golf Club up close and personal. We talked about it last week, the Donald Ross Gym. Rory McIlroy and DJ prevailed McIlroy hit that 121-yard shot closest to the pin on the 17th hole, and that secured the win with DJ 11-7 skins victory over Ricky Fowler and Matthew Wolff. And I wish there would have been more banter that we could have heard between the players. McIlroy, he tried, but if there was any trash talking going on, it was difficult to hear it. And Ricky played well. He had the most birdies, 7 birdies, 6 of them in a 9-hole stretch. Matthew Wolff won both long drive competitions. God, that kid has a weird-looking swing. We'll talk to Maggie Will about Matthew's swing. But I love the fact that each player used a range finder and carried their own bag. That was fun to see. The first PGA Tour event back, as we know, is the Charles Schwab Challenge. That's June 11 to 14. Then the RBC Heritage in Hilton Head. Then the Travelers Championship, June 25 to 28. Then the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. Now, those four tournaments will be TV events only, no spectators. And Rory McIlroy has already said he plans to play in the first three tournaments. But Adam Scott, Tommy Fleetwood, and Lee Westwood, they all live outside the United States, and they all expressed concern this week about returning to competition. The PGA Tour requires a mandatory 14-day quarantine period before returning to competition, and Lee Westwood was quoted as saying, "Right now, I won't be playing them," I guess those first couple tournaments, "not with having to leave here 2 weeks before, quarantine, then play the two tournaments, then come back here to England and quarantine again." He said that's 6 weeks for two tournaments, and to me, that's just not worth it, and it's not worth taking the risk if everybody thinks that those kind of precautions have got to be in place. He says, "I don't feel like golf's a priority if it's that severe." And then Adam Scott was also quoted this week. Of course, he's in Australia, and he's concerned about the turnaround time of the tests. He says the tour will be working with local labs and say they hope to get the results back within a couple hours. Scott says he's also concerned about people who may have the virus and show no symptoms. So, look, I can understand their concerns. It's challenging for everyone, but especially for the international players who have to get on a plane. Those are long plane rides. Get here 2 weeks before a tournament to quarantine. And, you know, then they have to decide how long they're going to stay in the United States. I mean, their families are, you know, not traveling with them. So there are a lot of things to think about, especially for the players who do not live in the United States. And as we know, the U.S. Open Golf Championship is scheduled to start September 17th at Wingfoot in Mamaroneck. And the USGA is canceling local and sectional qualifying for the championship. The original schedule was to have 108 local qualifying events and 12 sectional qualifying tournaments. Instead, the USGA they're going to create an exemption category, a bunch of different categories, including an amateur section. So a lot of players, you know, get into the U.S. Open through these qualifying tournaments. At last year's U.S. Open, for example, approximately 70 players earned the opportunity to play in the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach by qualifying. All right, we are going to take a quick break, come back, and preview the match, the really big match, and talk with Maggie Will. She is a 3-time LPGA Tour winner, a former college golf coach, and she's now the founder of Will2Golf.com, the world's largest searchable database of golf tournaments. www.will2golf.com. We'll catch up with Maggie Wills right after this.
At Travelers, we never lose sight of our promise to take care of our customers and communities. That's why we're giving personal auto insurance customers a 15% credit on their April and May premiums and providing billing relief to all customers affected by COVID-19. It's also why we're pledging $5 million in relief efforts to help our communities. For over 160 years, Travelers has been helping protect the people we serve. To learn more, please visit travelers.com. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella.
It's Sunday morning, and you're talking golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Talking Golf with Ann Liguori. Happy Memorial Day weekend. How we doing? And happy morning to Maggie Will. Hey, Maggie, how are you?
Good morning, Ann. Thanks for having me on. I love talking golf with you.
Three-time LPGA Tour winner, former college golf coach, founder of Will2Golf, the world's largest searchable database of golf tournaments, will2golf.com. And I was trying to remember how you and I met, Maggie, and I think it was back at Waikakail Country Club during the Jal Big Apple Classic days. Do you remember that tournament?
I remember it vividly. Certainly, we played there in the Pro-Am and was so impressed by your game, and we became fast friends.
You gave me a bunker lesson, which I will I still treasure to this day. But remember that, I'm trying to think, you know, which car company sponsored that event. But if somebody got a hole in one, not only did they get the car, but the entire foursome got the car. Do you remember
right.
that?
I do.
It was so cool.
That.
And somebody did one year. I used to play in this, you know, the tournament, the celebrity pro-am every year. And it was so cool. The entire foursome won. It wasn't my foursome, unfortunately. But anyway, well, let's first talk about the database that you've been working on for a long time. Tell me a little bit about it and how young people perhaps hoping to make the right decision as they try, you know, to get a college golf scholarship, how would they use it?
Right. So the idea came about whenever I was coaching college golf, because as I was recruiting, I realized there was just no national database. And then as I dug deeper into it, I realized the problem was we didn't know where everyone was even playing, much less who were they. So that's how it came about. And I just kept digging and digging. And as I stopped coaching, you know, I was running that off of Excel spreadsheets, helping some juniors here locally navigate the college, and then realized, wow, it's that big, but it's also more of how do they even we've done such a great job of building these programs like LPGA Junior Girls Golf and PGA Junior League, and we're bringing so many youngsters into the game now, and then we just sort of drop them off at the curb and say, okay. And every other sport has those leagues that you can join, in a sense of, you know, the T-ball grows to coach pitch, grows to kid pitch, grows to AAU and all of those things. And in golf, it just wasn't as organized. And so I organized it for parents to help guide their kids. And we rate the events so that they know what level event they're entering. And then we help them build playing schedules and get seen and navigate the college. And it's been very successful. So it's really exciting.
That's cool. What prompted you to do that? Because I'm sure it's tons of work.
It is tons of work.
And you're doing it yourself.
Right. And I have a few folks that help me. And then I have, luckily, a lot of the data comes in the wintertime, and a lot of the college database gets updated in the summertime. So I'm fortunate that a lot of the young people that I've helped navigate, they come back and get summer jobs or winter jobs. So it's not all me, but you're right. It is a lot of me. And you know, nothing like working 120 hours a week to not work 40, but you know what that's like.
I certainly do. Well, I think that's such a valuable service. That's very cool. And I know you coached college golf, so you are very familiar with the issues that a lot of these young players have in trying to navigate, you know, a future career or just to continue to play for fun, which tournaments to play.
Yeah, I think what broke my heart the most was parents overspending to get underdelivered, and meaning they were spending $10,000-$20,000 a summer, and you know, when they could have just, you know, as long as you target and get to the right places, it can all be taken care of for far less than that, and you have some money left over for college, which you need these days.
Absolutely. Well, I know you've played Seminole Golf Club a number of times and medalist in your days when you spent a lot of time in Florida, and you, you know, even took lessons from Bob Ford, who's the director of golf down at Seminole. So tell us a little bit about your experiences at Seminole. And did you think that last week's skins match showed the course in all its glory.
Yeah, well, Seminole has a special place, like you said, because of Bob Ford helping me with my game. There's just an aura there, and the fact that it's built on these in between these two dunes, and you know, it's very rustic, a little bit like something you might find over in England, or you know, Shinnecock. And Medalist is going to look far different than that, although they have a lot of wetlands instead of the sand, because it's not on the ocean. So those are the two things that the viewers are going to notice. And, but I think they're going to notice that everybody's still a little bit rusty, right? This is going to be Tiger and Phil's first foray back into somewhat of competitive golf with an audience. And it doesn't matter whether you're a junior golfer or a professional golfer, you're going to get nervous. And so, I think that we can expect, a shaky shot here or there. But I think overall it's going to be a little bit of a different flair in that it looked like early on in the Seminole match that Rory was trying to get the guys going and some conversation. And I don't know if they weren't conversing or how that, so it kind of ended up just being the broadcasters doing all the conversation. But I've heard some really funny clips on, on the internet or on radio. So they were recording them. I think today's match will be a lot more of their interaction, and Justin Thomas on the course, I think he knows how to rib both these guys, and they take it from him and they rib him back. So I think that'll be good. And of course, Charles Barkley, I mean, we just love him in the NCAA tournament. He's hilarious.
He is hilarious. So, I was thinking, Maggie, how it's so hard though, when these guys are concentrating on their game, and I'm sure Peyton Manning and Tom Brady are going to be nervous, right? Because they're not professional golfers, right? They're professional football players. And how much ribbing can you really do and joking around when you really are focusing on your golf swing?
Yeah, I think also, I think of it more as like a tennis player about to hit their serve, or someone shooting a free throw, right? You have that moment before, and now you're going to perform. And every golf shot is that way, whereas other sports, it's like they have those one moments, but then the rest is sort of action, if you will. So golf is always, a free throw, or always a serve in tennis. And could you imagine Roger Federer is getting ready to hit his serve, and, somebody comes, Charles Barkley comes over and says, "Hey, Roger, look, I mean, I noticed it's going to be, you're right. It requires a little higher level of concentration. So we could get some pretty good moments today."
Have you ever seen Charles Barkley's golf swing?
Yeah.
It's hideous. Seriously. And he's the first one to say it. So, he actually takes a decent practice swing, but then when he actually hits the ball, it turns into this completely different, really ugly looking swing. And talking about ugly swings, last Sunday, what about Matthew Wolff's swing? It is so unorthodox looking. There's a photo going around on social media of all four backswings from the guys who played last week, Ricky and Rory and Dustin and Matthew. And their backswings are all in different places, which is amazing, right? What do you think about that from a technique standpoint?
Yeah, I tell my junior golfers all the time that, own your swing. It's your swing, and that the golf ball only knows impact, thank goodness. So if you can find your way and learn your tendencies and learn how to manage them, you can make it. And I think that is one thing that we saw with that. I saw that picture going around as well, and I said, wow, you can make it from anywhere, but these guys have something different that they want to get that ball in the hole in as few strokes as possible. And obviously they don't get too hung up on where are my hands, at the top of my backswing, or what's going on with the club. They're putting those grooves on that ball. That's what I always say. Put the grooves on the ball, and it will go where you want it to go.
So Matthew, he gets to that ball, but he does a couple things that are kind of funky before he even hits the ball that I've never seen before. What do you think about his swing?
Well, it's really an old Jim Flick technique, and I was taught it when I was between my junior and senior year in college by a gentleman in North Carolina who had known Jim Flick and taught at some of his schools. And, you know, he would have me sort of press my body into impact, like kind of get into impact and then start from there and make my golf swing, and your body and your club just get thrown back to impact. It's really, really a cool drill. Now, he does it with a little more energy and hits it a heck of a lot farther than we did, but it's sort of kind of something that's been around for a long time and makes a lot of sense because, you know, you think about the baseball player, you know, how he does sort of the bat out in front and then he kind of brings it back. I mean, it's sort of that same idea. You know, the pitcher sort of leans forward and then goes back and then goes into his windup. So it certainly works. And he, of all people, he's putting the grooves on the ball. But here's one funny thing. Did you ever think in your lifetime that we would think that Jim Furyk, his action didn't look that different now?
Yeah, I can't say that he has the strangest looking swing on tour anymore. I mean, this kid, and he's a very solid player, obviously, but it's, you know, it just goes to show you that you don't have to have the same technique. You know, at one point, all these younger players, their swings looked identical, almost robotic, right? But now we're seeing a lot of variety, which I think is, as you say, you have to really do your have your own swing and then just go for it.
Well, I think back in the day of, you know, Nicklaus and Palmer and Raymond Floyd and Nancy Lopez and Patty Sheehan and Pat Bradley, I mean, everybody sort of had their thing, right? And then it was like all the golf clubs got more personalized to us. So, you know, they fit us, and then Tiger Woods came along and he had this, you know, beautiful swing. And so everybody was taught this perfect. And now it's like we're kind of veering off that track again that, you know, put the grooves on the ball and find a way. Put it in the hole. Go play.
I love it. It's so simple. Just put it in the hole, right? Well, what do you expect to see from Tiger's game today and Phil's game today? Obviously, Tiger can play in his backyard. So, he can play and practice all the time. And I'm sure Phil has practiced a lot. He came in early to play medalist, but what do you expect to see from the pros today?
Yeah, I think, I think both these guys are intelligent. And so they have really great senses of humor. And I think that holds true for, you know, the football players there as well. With the amateurs getting the three strokes, right, they're going to get one on one par three, one on a par four, and one on a par five. That's three of the nine holes. I'm sure that they'll be pressuring them to do well on those holes. But medalist is a pretty generous driving, per se. You can definitely challenge some corners and things like that. It's around the greens, a little bit like Seminole, where the ball can roll off some. And the greens are going to be fast, from what I understand. So let's hope that holds true and they don't get 4 inches of rain like they did for Seminole. That could have really gotten out of control if it hadn't rained for those guys.
Wind,
it sort of
no
lost
wind
its bite.
They didn't have much wind last week. Yeah, it looked like it. I mean, I wanted to see it in all its glory, right?
Yeah.
You know, lightning fast greens.
Everybody hit a random shot, you know, last week, but seemed to recover from it. And, you know, to me, the player that played the best last week was Ricky Fowler. Yeah. He was super solid. And, it's funny how it comes down to one shot there at the end. And, you know, the last shot of the day as the sun is setting and Rory hits it closest to the hole. I think that Tiger, he seems to, you know, he never really throws any punches. He'll tell you that, you know, I'm not feeling well. I'm not going to play. I'm going to take some time. And so I think that he seems to have been able to get himself back together, and we'll probably see some nice golf.
So last question, Maggie, because we're out of time, unfortunately. But, you know, you got the Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, who apparently are very good players. But there is a lot of separation between a pro golfer and very good golfers. And what's the biggest difference usually between a professional golfer and, say, a 5-6 handicapper?
I would say that it's just like for Peyton to see the football field and to know that guy's eyes and he's coming this way and that guy's going to block that way. You know, he's able to see the playing field. I think that a professional golfer is just able to sense and feel and see the golf course and the wind. And, you know, we just sort of get in that zone of golf where we are, you know, one with the ball or whatever that is, or one with the day. And a very good golfer, just those little intricacies that cost you a shot here and cost you a shot there, and then all of a sudden cost you two shots because you weren't able to really sense and feel your way around and know when to go for it and when not to go for it. And I think that everyone in every profession, just like, you know how to get out of this segment faster and easier than me. So it's a talent.
Well, we try, but you know, so you're saying they process a lot of information, and it's really a matter, it comes down to making the right decisions, course management, yeah, and all that. Interesting.
Yeah, they process it really
fast. Anybody can
hit
a bad shot. I mean, these pros miss these short putts, which amaze me, but you know, they're human. So
I had a caddy tell me early on in my career, Maggie, if you're going to make it out here, you need to be super smart or really dumb. And I couldn't understand that, but they were right, because the really smart people can process a lot of information in a short period of time and come up with the right answer. And the people who are, no offense, you know, not as sharp, they just don't care. It just kind of comes and goes in and out of their brain. And someone says, do this, and they go, okay. And they don't put a lot of thought or whatever into it, but they are tigers in their heart of wanting to get the ball in the hole.
Interesting. That's right. They don't think too much. They don't overanalyze, and that's better. Maggie Will, thank you so much. 3-time LPGA Tour winner, former college golf coach, and founder of will2golf.com, the largest searchable database of golf tournaments. Continued success, Maggie. Thanks so much. You're a pleasure to talk to you.
All right, Ann. Keep talking golf, and let's have a game.
I can't wait. Let's keep in touch. Thank you. Maggie Will. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and find out how Joey D, golf fitness trainer extraordinaire, trains the top players in golf. We'll be right back.
At Travelers, we never lose sight of our promise to take care of our customers and communities. That's why we're giving personal auto insurance customers a 15% credit on their April and May premiums and providing billing relief to all customers affected by COVID-19. It's also why we're pledging $5 million in relief efforts to help our communities. For over 160 years, Travelers has been helping protect the people we serve. To learn more, please visit travelers.com. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella.
It's Ann Liguori and Talking Golf on The Fan.
All right, how we doing this morning? Grooving, dancing here behind the microphone. Happy Memorial Day weekend. So glad you can join me, where I am every Sunday morning from 7 to 8. And joining us now, golf fitness trainer extraordinaire Joey D. He's trained Brooks Koepka. He works with Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, Lexi Thompson, Jessica Korda, to name a few. Joey D. Golf has worked with players a total of 16 majors, won 132 professional tour victories. Wow, that's impressive. Good morning, Joey D. Welcome to Talking Golf.
Good morning. Thanks for having me. How's everything going?
Everything's good. And I am so charged up. I've looked at your website. You have the Joey D. Golf Academy in Jupiter, Florida, which has really become a hotbed for pro golfers, right, in Jupiter. Tell us a little bit about the academy and how you developed it from in that part of the country. I know you're originally from New Jersey.
Yes. The academy kind of started as a spinoff of the PGA Tour model. And when we started to recognize that the tour was putting its, you know, efforts and resources, giving the pros an opportunity, you know, as everybody knows who's a fan of golf and watches the way the golf, the PGA Tour works, is that the players go from city to city and place to place, and they need facilities to, you know, do what they do, just like every other athlete. So if you're playing the NBA, you go somewhere and you have the ability to train in wherever you go. Same thing with the NFL, Major League Baseball. But you know, the PGA Tour created this model years ago, and you know, I decided a while ago that there was an opportunity as I saw this, you know, migration happening. You called it a hotbed. Many tour pros were moving to South Florida, and we just said, why don't we build a model here so they have a place to work when they're at home? And that's kind of how it started.
So how often do these players come to the academy? I mean, obviously, under normal circumstances, they would be on the road week after week after week. But, you know, when they're home, I guess, how many times a week would they come to your academy?
I mean, I think in an off week, depending on their schedule, we'll see them minimum of 3 times. I mean, some players come every day. And, you know, that just depends on their workload and where they are in their game. But yeah, you know, I would say the average of 3 times a week when they're here in Jupiter, Florida.
And say, what would a typical workout be for Dustin Johnson? I know he's one of your guys.
Yeah, I mean, Dustin is a unique athlete. So I always tell people, you know, don't kind of model yourself after Dustin, but take what you want from what he does and you know, apply it to what works for you. But he'll come in and, you know, we'll get on a spin bike and we'll start for, you know, a session that begins at about 45 to 55 minutes on a bike. He'll get off the bike and he'll get on a mat and we'll do a ground activation for about 10 to 15 minutes where he basically starts to function on all of the load and, you know, modality work that he needs to get his body kind of activated through that core. And then from there, we'll pick a day that he might work on balance and speed. You know, balance is huge in golf. You know, the more you swing in balance, the more, you know, your body can control what it has to do. And ultimately, as your body is in control, you maintain the ability to swing that club, very evenly and consistently. So then, you know, there are days where we'll do power days where and I always tell people, don't do what he does exactly, but he'll do Olympic lifts that are very, you know, he's technically very skilled, just like many other athletes at the high levels that they train at under the guidance of their coaches. So we'll do a power day, and then we'll do a total body day, and we'll do a day that works on basically all the functions that happen in the golf swing. So there's so many different things that he does, but, you know, it's all available, I think, on our websites and gives people opportunity. We created this new streaming platform, and it's called Hit It Great, and a training platform that you have so many opportunities to jump on in a world like we talked about. There's so many changes going on. What's our new normal? So I think many people have been, you know, self-quarantining and being socially responsible in this world. Humanity has to show its face to stop this horrific pandemic. But golf has been a great vehicle for people. And I think although nobody could have played for a while, what we did was we decided to create programs like, you know, No Equipment, No Problem, where we went into our studios and, you know, create stuff for people to work on their bodies and work on getting ready to play golf again. So there's so much going on out there that I think is a positive thing as we're entering back into the world that I'm excited for people. I'm excited for golf.
Sure. So Dustin Johnson can basically take a lot of these exercises with him on the road, correct?
Yeah, he does. We take almost everything on the road with us.
Right, right. And you talk about the four pillars of strength, Joey D, for
right.
a high-functioning golf body: balance, stability, power, and velocity, right? So,
right.
And you work, and you basically, when you're talking about DJ's routine, it combines all four of those areas.
Yeah, and I think if you look at those four pillars of strength for any golfer, any player at any level, I mean, everybody has this still. I was listening to somebody the other day. He came in and he was a golf coach, a teacher, a professional in New York. And I didn't catch where he was from, but they were trying to get a very minimal, you know, because everything is like 10 or less. And he was talking to one of my coaches saying so many teaching professionals still don't believe that it's a strong part of how golf has evolved. And everybody has the right to their opinion, except you can't argue that if they're doing it at the top level of golf on the PGA Tour and LPGA Tour, people could say that it is a necessary and it is an important part of developing a complete game. So for the four pillars of strength, if you take any one of those things and apply just a few movements, I think people are just going to play better golf, because, you know, as we enter back into
you know, the ability to play, I think people just need to pay a little bit of attention to how will they prepare their body before they get on a driving range. And, you know, if your goal is to play better golf and enjoy the game, then pay attention to what happens with the body, because that club won't move until you pick it up, right? So the club doesn't swing itself. And we can argue, or we can, you know, I think peacefully coexist with the world of teaching professionals that we want to help people. We're not trying to argue that it's not important anymore. I think we've established that it is. So those four pillars of strength are huge.
They really are. And, you know, before I play, you know what is very helpful for me? If I can get to a swimming pool, I just think swimming is low impact, and you can stretch with different, you know, styles. You can pretty much stretch your entire body while you're swimming. And I just find that if I can swim, you know, and I don't know, a lot of these pros, I might not be able to get to a pool before they get out there. But do you incorporate that at all in your training?
Yeah, I mean, I actually think personally for me, swimming is a huge part of my life every day. And I've done it for, you know, 25 years straight. And I think there's nothing better than to move your body freely in a, you know, environment. The water acts like, you know, you are in this free moving environment where the body has no restriction. And you're right, a lot of people don't have the ability. But if you do, I do like what you're saying. Swimming is a great opportunity to open your body up and get ready to play golf. I mean, that's one thing that I would, you know, say for people, that if you could get in a pool, that's awesome. I don't know that everybody has that ability, but.
Right. I just think I do it every day when I can, because it just makes me feel incredible, and it helps me before I get out on the golf course.
So it opens you up. You feel like, you know, you could move better. You can swing more freely. And I think that's really, whether you're swimming or you ride a bike or you do a quick dynamic warm-up like we have available on our website for people, I think it's all about, can you move better before you put the club in your hand and begin
Definitely.
To do something that can be very, you know, people don't realize the golf swing, you know, it has a lot of moving parts, and your body has to be able to handle, no matter what speed you swing at, no matter what level you play at. I like what you're saying. So if you can get in the pool, do what Ann does.
Well, the thing is, you know, I mean, I need to get to a range before I play. Some people can just go out and play, right? I need to really spend some time and get my body moving in the right direction on the range. But before I even get to the range, if I had the choice of doing, if I could only do one, say I'm running, you know, late on time or whatever, and I can only swim and stretch or go to the range and hit balls, I'd take swim and stretching. You have to stretch before you get your body out there. You have to warm up your body before you go out in the golf course, right? I can't just go out there cold and hit a ball without, you know, just warming up and doing some, you know, wind sprints or swimming, you know, that kind of thing. So I'm sure you're that's why you get DJ on the bike for 45 minutes before he even goes to the mat, right?
You know, one of the things that I can tell the world, and this is a great opportunity. I mean, I really appreciate people like yourself who have us on to kind of spread the word and give people perspective. You know, the reason why the PGA Tour has put so much of their financial resources into the players and the players' ability to perform better is because, like you're saying, at the pro level, they have to warm up and get ready. So we have these amazing fitness and physio trailers that travel with us that just got launched last year at the Honda. And the pros go in there, and you know, we're in there all morning and all afternoon, whether you're early morning or late tee times. And the best players in the world are warming up and getting their bodies ready to go hit balls on the range. And I'm not telling people who are listening to this show you have to do that, but I do agree with you. Like, I just know this isn't an argument. This is a proven. We have a proven track record that you can always say that when you want to find, you know, out where your body's ability is, give yourself a chance to do something that can make change happen. And this is a great conversation for people to say, listen, take a little bit out of the conversation you and I had today and give it some thought and see, what are you going to do? How are you going to challenge yourself to change and play better golf as this world enters back into, you know, the hopeful opportunity that we can get past this horrific thing that's happened? And golf is an amazing game, and I think the opportunity for golf fitness and people's general ability of awareness to move better it doesn't matter whether you have a gym, a swimming pool. You could, we launched this piece called No Equipment, No Problem. I mean, you just take a look at that and you move better. And I just like the fact that you are promoting something that I think helps people. So thanks so much for giving me an opportunity to share some stuff with you that we do at a professional level.
Well, my pleasure. I mean, you're just a wealth of knowledge, and you've trained so many people. You trained Brooks Koepka. And, you know, I wanted to ask you, Joey D, because he really bulked up for that cover shot in ESPN Magazine. And do you think at that point he overdid it in terms of bulking up? I mean, can players get too bulked up for golf?
You know, the argument is when you see players, and everything is a personal, that's such a great question. Everything is very personal as an individual. And players, you know, in no matter what sport they're in, right, because it's golf and everybody has this preconceived notion that you can get too big, right? So if Tiger was a big fan and advocate of working with weight training and speed training and balance. And like when he did it and bulked up and he did the I can't remember the Sports Illustrated. It was such a great piece. People have a general ability to believe what he does more because he's proven on the golf course, right, with no argument that he's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, not taking anything away from Mr. Nicklaus or other players. You know, you can argue that Tiger is one of, if not the greatest, and he is trained, and I still watch him till this day. He can, his workload. But so Brooks decides to do something, and he's under the microscope. But what I love about Brooks was, and still enjoy this about his personality and his individualism, is he doesn't really care what people think, because he's proven that if you look at what he's done over the last few years, that's an amazing run in golf. So I don't think he got too big. I think what happens to people and players is if they don't take the time to understand how their body has changed and work that with their golf swing and mm-hmm. into their golf swing, they can struggle. Is that a fair way?
Yeah,
to,
no. I personally think that Tiger got too big too at one point, but you know, as you say, you have to know what to do with that, you know, increased body mass. And like, I'm not going to criticize these guys. They're the greatest players on the planet,
well, right?
I love Brooks Koepka.
Because if you watch what he did, how many majors he won, getting to number one in the world, how could you criticize that? You almost can't, because let's say he missed cut after cut after cut after cut, and so did Tiger. But these guys were changing their bodies and performing at a level, and they actually, you know, won multiple majors and multiple tournaments, and that's hard to argue with, no matter
right.
what you
You're
think.
You're absolutely right. Joey D, thank you so much. Check out Joey DGolf.com. I'd love to talk more, but we're out of time. Thank you so much. Have a lovely rest of the weekend.
You as well. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much. My thanks to Joey D. Now I'm even more motivated to get fit for golf, to focus on specific training that will improve my golf game. I hope you will too. My thanks to Maggie Will, will2golf.com. My thanks to Pete Hoffman in the studio. Talking Golf was brought to you by Travelers Insurance for auto, home, and business. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. All right, be sure to connect with me on social media. Stay tuned for Rick Wolf and the Sports Edge. And I look forward to talking with you next Sunday from 7 to 8 right here on Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.